with all kinds of prayers and requests.
As George Mueller discovered, we can rightly bring God our requests only within the context of a relationship that is nourished by meditation. As I noted in my previous book, The Prayer of Jesus, most of us do precisely the inverse. We rush into God's presence with a laundry list of prayer requests, and before our knees have ever touched the ground, we're already thinking about getting back into our frenzied lifestyles. Often, we treat our Heavenly Father no better than we treat our families. We want a relationship without the discipline of investing quality time. Thus, before Jesus teaches his disciples how to bring God their requests, he first teaches them how to build a relationship. Prayer begins with a humble faith in the love and resources of our Heavenly Father. Such faith inevitably leads to adoration as we express our longing for an ever deeper and richer relationship with the one who knit us together in our mother's wombs. The more we get to know him in the fullness of his majesty, the more we are inclined to confess our unworthiness and to thank him for his saving and sanctifying grace. It is only in the context of such a relationship that we can rightly bring God our requests. Says R.C. Sproul, only after God has been rightly honored, adored, and exalted do the subsequent petitions of God's people assume their proper place. The prayer of Jesus is neatly divided into two parts. The first is focused on God's glory. Thus we pray, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." The second is focused on our requests. In the words of the great church father Tertullian, "How gracefully has the divine wisdom arranged the order of the prayer so that after things heavenly, that is, after the name of God, the will of God and the kingdom of God, it should give earthly necessities also room for a petition." To pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests first entails petitioning our Heavenly Father for daily provisions. Thus Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." As the Holy Spirit is an all-encompassing gift, so too, we are reminded that bread encompasses far more than food. In the words of the great 16th century theologian Martin Chemnitz, the word bread in this petition encompasses all things belonging to and necessary for the sustenance of this body and life. Furthermore, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests encompasses daily petitioning our Heavenly Father for pardon. When we pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors," we are reminded of the infinite price that was paid so that we might be forgiven. We must ever be mindful that it was God himself who hung on the cross so that we could be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. Finally, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests involves praying for protection. Thus, Jesus concluded the model prayer by teaching his disciples to pray, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." In doing so, we are reminded that God is in control of all things, including the temptations of Satan. As Luther has well said, the devil is God's devil. Even in the ultimate temptation, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Satan was the agent of the temptation. God, however, was the author of the testing. Satan used the occasion to tempt Christ to sin. God used the occasion to demonstrate that he could not sin.